Let's talk some sneaky golf plays for this week at the Heritage. I don't know how this fella with that big old belly is sneaking by anybody, but Shane Lowry at $9,800 is. I've got Lowry as a top five optimal play on the slate, and he's only coming in at 10% ownership. And I really think a lot of this has to do with the sticker shock. He's all the way up right now at $9,800. He was 10% owned each of the last 2 weeks, and he finished in the top 15 with a third place finish last week at the Masters. This price point is holding him back. And his recent form per Fantasy National shows a 100% top 15 rate in 2022, including a couple of top three finishes. Not only has he gained over 4 strokes on approach on the field in each event, which is the biggest key stat here, he's also gained in every event with the putter this week. You combine the putting with the approach play here, and you're looking good. Now, his only possible concern is going to be driving distance, really just off the tee play and accuracy. But luckily for us, this is one of the courses where that matters the absolute least. He ranks 60th in the field in that number, but it's not really going to put him at a disadvantage. And then you check out the course history. He's got 2 top 10 finishes here in the past 3 years. I'm liking Shane Lowry right now at around just 10%. Own. The next man up is also in the $9,000 range, 9,200, Jordan Spieth. Now, we got to track this as the week goes on, because Jordan Spieth is a guy who was in our video last week at 6% owned. He ended up being 10% owned. He always gets this bump because of his name value, and when people are clicking their last guy in at the last second, they're going to be influenced by the old Jordan Spieth and just knowing his name more than the guys around him. But early on, yet again, I have him coming in at just 6% projected ownership, and I really do think that might stick here, because Spieth has been letting a lot of people down of late. He was 17% owned at the Valero, and he finishes 35th, which is not the greatest for being that highly owned. Then he comes in around 10%, 12%, depending on your contest, at the Masters, and he ends up missing the cut. So do you really think those people these last couple of weeks on him want to go right back to him when he hasn't done anything for them, and he has been expensive during that time? He's now got 2 missed cuts in his last 3 events, and still in that $9,000 range. I think people are just going to go away from him, especially to guys like Daniel Berger around him. Now, if you look at Spieth's numbers over the last 50 rounds, they're all going to look absolutely atrocious. I mean, the putter has been broken, ranking 91st in this field. Nothing is basically within the top 30% of the field. But if you were to break it down on a more recent play form, you can see that the approach play has been much better than it has been the last 50 rounds. These last 5 to 10 events, it's been a lot better, gaining in every aspect. The putter is indeed worrisome, losing 7 strokes at the Valero, 2 strokes at the Players. But for a guy who long-term game strokes with the putter, I think something as volatile as putting, we can maybe take a chance here at lower ownership. You're not going to get sneaky with 20% owned Dustin Johnson and 20% owned probably Cam Smith this week. No. You need the guy who's going to be in the lineup that nobody else has. Another downside for Spieth is that he's struggling when he gets to the weekend to close. You can see right here, he's gaining strokes on the weekend, and the only time that he's actually had a good round on the weekend is 1 time in his last 6 weekend rounds. Now, that is meaning he's making the cut, but that's the bare minimum at this point in what you have to do. For a guy who is still scoring pretty solid in DraftKings scorings at just 6% owned here, it could flip back at any time when the irons are looking as good as they have been. The man in the 8K range that stands out to me at lower ownership right now is Harold Varner at just 5% projected ownership on my tools on Patreon linked down below. Nobody seems to be going to the runner-up from last year in Varner. And just in general, nobody's playing him at all. He has not topped 5% ownership in his last 5 events, and I think that might be the case here again. Even though on similar courses to the Heritage, he is a top 10 approach player and a top 20 DraftKings scorer. The biggest issue with Varner comes down to accuracy and just off the tee play in general, ranking 93rd in this field at similar courses, but the nice thing for you is you don't have to worry about that too much here. Since it's a smaller course, you don't have to rely on driving on this course as much, as many people won't even be taking out driver a lot of the time. Another key stat is how good your irons are from kind of the short to intermediate range, and Varner ranks top 15 in this field in approach play from 150 to 175 yards. It's also nice to see, since there will be tiny greens at this golf course, that you're around the green play. You can't have mishaps there and just hit it from one side of the green and off to the other side. Your around the green play will be important here, and in the last 6 events, he has gained strokes, and he hasn't lost over a stroke around the green in his last 14 events. A sneaky fella in the $7,000 range is going to be Ian Poulter. Now, at $7,500, expect guys like Sebastian Munoz and Tom Hoge to be taking some ownership away from him, who right now, Poulter's only coming in around 2% owned. And even if that goes up to 5% owned at the end of the week, I have him as an optimal play 9% of the time. So we're getting solid leverage here in the 7K range. And if you're just trying to think at where Poulter excels, it's going to be these courses where he does not have to rely on his off the tee or his driver. That is by far his worst skill set, ranking 72nd in this field, he is best around the greens. His short game is arguably top five and likely is top five in this field. So we know he's good around the green. Can we get him to that point now? And based on his recent play, he's gaining strokes on approach with those irons to get him to around the green situations in 75% of his events this year. And he's doing it in a pretty impressive way. And he has some of the best course history here the last 5 years, an 80% top 15 finish rate here during that span. I'm assuming Poulter's ownership's going to rise, but not nearly to a point where he won't be a good play. And now for your what's propping picks of the week. Right now I have Jordan Spieth over 8 fairways hit and Shane Lowry over 4 birdies or better in the first round of the tournament. So far I have $25 on these to win 75, and you can take it as well with a free bet up to $100 if you use the code GOLF on prizepicks.com. $100, that's like 10 Chipotle burritos? 10 Chipotle burritos, code GOLF, G-O-L-F, prizepicks.com. Hunting for some sneaky salary savers? Look no further than 7K flat Cameron Tringale. Don't expect much ownership here. The last couple of times we've seen him, he was 19% owned and missed the cut at Pebble. 7% owned at the API, missed the cut, and 7% owned at the Valspar and finished dead last after the cut 62nd. So yeah, the recent form with a 62nd and back-to-back missed cuts before that hasn't been great until you look at how it compares to this course setup. Because the approach play, which matters most here, has been fantastic. And long-term, he's a really good around-the-greens player. Yeah, he struggled at the Valspar, but other than that, he's either gaining strokes or losing a half a stroke in every event the last 6 months. And if we start to look at how he sets up at comparable courses like this, he's a top 30 DraftKings scorer, top 30 player around the greens, and with his irons. That's very good for where he's priced. And if I'm down in this range, I want guys who have ceilings. Tringale has finished top 15 37% of the times over his last 20 events, which is very similar to a lot of guys in the lower 8K range and upper 7K range, $1,000 more than him. And you could have fun with this by putting together an all sneaky lineup. Shane Lowry, Spieth, Harold Varner, the guys we've talked about so far, leaving us $8,000 is not too bad. It might be too much of sneakiness here, but it's possible. Now, most guys below 7K will be like 1-3% owned, so you're not going to get much sneakiness down there. If I had to pick a guy, it would be $6,800 Joel Dahman, who based on his Vegas odds of 125-1 odds to win this, he should probably be like $7,300. And he's also been really reliable this year, making 5 straight cuts. Now, the biggest concern for Damon is going to be his short game around the greens and putting. Basically, you're going to have issues with every guy down here. Can he at least pop with the putter in the short game? And the answer is yes. He's gained with the putter in 2 out of 4 events this year, almost 5 strokes and 2.3 at the Phoenix. Last time we saw him at Valspar, he looked very good around the greens. It's just going to be hit or miss with the putter. But like I said with Tringale, I want guys who have upside, and he's a top 25 scorer at similar courses to the Heritage. So expect around 18 to 22 birdies if he makes the cut, with a pretty decent chance at being in an optimal lineup. And if we wanted to finish up this sneaky lineup at $8,000 flat, I would go to Kevin Na, who's a top 5 play for me on this course, leaving $200 on the table. Probably end up getting away from one low-owned guy here. You could do something simple like getting off of Jordan Spieth to Russell Henley and leaving even more money to be unique. Best of luck in the streets this week, you beautiful people, and I appreciate it if you hit the subscribe button before you go. I'll see you all in the next one.